Good morning, Hope Church, Newham. How are you doing? Hope you are well. Please interact in the comments, discuss and speak about, you know, the service, questions, converse. Let community stay alive in these trying times. My name is Charles. I'm a member of Hope Church, and today I'm going to be continuing our preaching series on complete, a series in Colossians. Complete. So I'm going to take you off from Colossians 2, 1 to 15. But I've got a few questions to ask you first, to engage the mind, to engage how we're thinking, and to help challenge the heart that we may grow in our walk with Jesus. That's the aim, to grow in our walk with Jesus. So is God a mystery to you? Be honest. Honesty is truly the best policy when we're approaching scripture. Is God a mystery to you? Do you find it easy to forget the importance of knowing God in a very busy, noisy, and frantic world? Do you really believe that Jesus is God? See, in Colossians 2, 1 to 15, there are great treasures of knowledge and of wisdom that we need to use our understanding that the Holy Spirit will give us concerning the scriptures to gain these riches for ourselves, that we may thrive in our life for the Lord. So let's unpack and dive into the treasury, which is the mystery of God, so that we may know it and understand it for ourselves. I've got two sections, section A and section B. In section A, there are 2 points, and in section B, there are 2 points. So follow closely and we'll journey this together and truly grow in our understanding with Jesus. Colossians 2, 1 to 8, let's read. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Before we dive in, we must first identify what prevents us from knowing God. Before we dive in to find out how we can take action and how we can claim these treasures and how we can live a more fruitful and vibrant life as Christians, we must first identify the parasite, the very thing that is preventing us from unlocking and enjoying and knowing God. So, section A, area one, not sure why I said area one, but let's roll with it. Who is persuading you? I mean, your mind can be going left and right and up and down, and what does he mean? See, Paul had a deep concern regarding the Colossians. Paul's concern was persuasive words, persuasion of the heart, persuasion of the mind. Paul had a concern regarding the Colossians. And we'll get into that a bit more about exactly what his concern was. But let's talk a bit more about persuasion. See, persuasion seems harmless, but it governs our decisions. Think about it. You choose what you've been persuaded by. It's won you over. We almost have a feeling of like we've made that choice. Well, not really, you've been persuaded to make a choice. Persuasion itself has no loyalty to what is good or bad. Persuasion itself has no loyalty to what is right or wrong. It's just a tool. We must understand that persuasion is subject to the most influential knowledge that you understand. So your level of persuasion comes to how much you understand about that thing. So we have yellow and green. It's dependent on how much you know about either one, which you'll be persuaded more to. The more you find out about something, the more you're persuaded over to that thing. Most of the time. You know, think of it like this. Persuasion is like a hammer. The hammer by itself and the table is inanimate. It doesn't do anything. But you pick that hammer up, you can use it for good or you can do it for wrong. You can either do a heinous crime with it, or you can fix a shelf. That's what persuasion is like. So that's why Paul is trying to hammer home the stern point of knowledge. Because people persuade you with knowledge. And Paul wants to hammer home where it originates from. True, unfiltered, raw, original knowledge. So the question to us in 2021 is, where do you get and where do you source your knowledge from? What persuades you? The question of what persuades you? Is it science? Technology? Is it philosophy? Celebrities? YouTube? Secular proverbs? Chinese proverbs, African proverbs? Amazon books, the literature section of ways of living, of ways to think, ways to advance in life? Your culture? That's a big one, your culture. What about your traditions, how you've been brought up? Which again, it's similar to culture, but does vary in certain ways. What about society's constructs? Do you gain your knowledge from the way society has been constructed? Is that where you gain your knowledge from? See, I've been working through the Bible since 2019. So started from the beginning and been going through it. Reading, verse by verse and just experiencing it historically. So I've been going through it historically. And I can honestly say to you, without a shadow of a doubt, that it's the most richest and most vibrant book I've ever read in my life. Most vibrant, it's almost like a conversation you're having with God. That you get to know him more and more. You get to know his ways and why he does things and who he is. I haven't even finished yet. I'm still going through. I think I'm just over halfway. And I wasn't trying to rush and get it done in a year, even though the app was telling me get it done in a year. And it kept telling me that, this is not going to do anything for you. You need to start again. And I said, nope, I'm going to carry on. It's 2021 and I'm still going through. But the point I'm trying to make is that the richness of knowledge that's in the Word of God, as I'm reading it, God is giving me the understanding to really apply it to my life and grow as a Christian, to know who he is. Let's think of this. Social media, great example. You get out your phone, you enter in your username, you enter in your password, and you click login. The minute you click login, and the next page that loads up, let's talk about Facebook. Facebook page is loading up, all of the feed and so forth, instantly you're hit and you're bombarded with an array of persuasive media, adverts, buy our product. Look how great and easy it is to use. All you've got to do is ABC, but when you get it, it's a completely different situation. Posts, your friend posts this about they were here or they did this or they did that. It's trying to persuade you to interact with the post, comment, like, say I'm happy, say I loved it, say I disagree with this, whatever it is, it's trying to persuade you into the post. Videos, give us your views, come and watch our videos, come and subscribe to my channel, come and interact with my content. Think about politics. How much people have been persuaded to different political parties and beliefs based upon social media. Persuade you by a post, persuade you by a mishap, a tweet from a president or a prime minister, and so on. Persuasion. Persuasion will happen irregardless of your choice. It's going to happen. Something is going to persuade you. We need to be alert to make sure what we're being persuaded by is of good, godly foundation. And here's why. In 1923, Hitler was involved in an unsuccessful rebellion against the government and was jailed for 9 months. It was during his imprisonment that Hitler wrote the first volume of Mein Kampf, which means my struggle. His autobiography and statement of political philosophy, that's what it was about. This book was very influential in spreading his idea of the master race. And by 1939, 5,200,000 copies had been sold. After he was released from prison, Hitler re-established himself in the Nazi Party and eventually ran for president in 1932. In that book, he spreads the idea of a master race, and 5,200,000 copies were sold. Now, pre-Holocaust, no one could have anticipated the atrocities to have followed. Imagine his book was not read. Imagine his persuasion was not swallowed. Persuasion. Let's think about a few religious leaders and elders who concocted and persuaded a multitude to put to death an innocent man. Matthew 27:20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. See, Barabbas was a prisoner condemned to death for insurrection, a violent uprising against the Roman Empire. They persuaded an innocent man to be put to death in replace for a man of violent conduct, a man that was meant to be put to death originally. Persuasion. What are you being persuaded into in your everyday life, in your everyday dealings? What are you being persuaded into? This is a challenging thought for me and you. To check our lives, to go through it for fine-tooth comb with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, where am I being persuaded to do what is wrong, to do what is unholy, to do what is ungodly? Point two in section A, be persuaded by Jesus. Verse 3 is Paul preaching and persuading you that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in God. God the Father, and in God the Son. Paul is persuading you, saying, I'm fighting for your cause here. Don't believe them false teachers who are speaking heresies and trying to make you do more for your salvation. Listen to what I'm saying. In Jesus, in God the Father, is all wisdom, all knowledge, all riches of understanding. All. See, in verse 8, where it speaks about beware of those people who speak on philosophies and empty deceit and the traditions of men. It's all about the false teachers in Colossae mixed Christianity with different things. And here are some of the things that the false teachers in Colossae mixed with Christianity. Imagine a pot, and Christianity being put in there, and I'm going to show you some of the ingredients that these false teachers were throwing in there and saying, no, this is what Christianity is. They were trying to reshape the mindsets of the Colossians, the Christian Colossians. They're putting elements of Greek philosophy. They depended heavily also on Jewish law. That's another ingredient going in. So we've got Greek philosophy in, and we've got Jewish law in. And they also insisted that there were many angelic beings that Christians were required to venerate and appease. So that's another ingredient thrown inside. So we've got Greek philosophy, Jewish law, and the appeasement of angelic beings thrown inside of this pot of Christianity, this pot of being saved by faith, being saved by grace through faith, mixed in. And Paul's fighting back, saying, do not let these people persuade you away from the truth. So think about today, in 2021. Think about the mix of Christianity, the sects and the departments and break-offs and all of these, I don't know, just mess that's going on in Christianity right now. I'll give you an example. Follow me on this one. I'm going to give you small excerpts from different religions that would are under the bracket of Christianity but don't fully believe what the written word of God says in its entirety. I'm going to put out points for you to help you understand. Mormonism. They believe salvation by works. They believe that God the Father and Jesus Christ are two distinct beings. That's Mormonism. Jehovah's Witness. They teach that Jesus is the Son of God, but is not part of the Trinity. Seventh-day Adventists. They believe that the work of Ellen White is a reference that can run alongside the Bible. So God's word is not forever settled. There's something else that he needs to prop it up to help it be, I know, inspirational or helpful in their walk, whatever it may be. Quakers. Quakers do not regard any book as being the actual word of God. Here's a new one. I'm not sure if you've heard of this one. I discovered it whilst doing my research and I was thinking to myself, wow, they're just making them like by the thousands, it seems. Christian Universalism. They believe that all human beings will ultimately be saved and restored to a right relationship with God. That's even if they die in sin. They believe that the whole universe, every person, will be saved. And the biggest one of all, Catholicism. They believe that God's revelation comes to us in two ways, sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So not just through God's word, but also through the practices of what they do, they believe that God's revelation comes to them to how they should live. There are many other different elements inside of these, but I really wanted to center on the mix. It's all a slight twist, a slight deviation, a slight left. And that's where the deception lies, and that's where the trap lies, and that's where the beer trap that's gonna cut straight through your ankle. That's where it lies, and we must be alert. We are not here to follow denominations. We are here to follow God's word. The complete canon of scripture. We're here to follow Jesus. See, Paul was fighting something similar in his day. You know, they were trying to put heresy, they were trying to twist and make it harder for Christians to find and follow Jesus. But Paul fought back with persuasive words by the Holy Spirit that spoke truth and life and said, this is the way, this is the truth, and this is the life, and his name is Jesus. So, do you have faith that the word of God is true and all you need? I had to challenge myself with that question. Like, do I really believe that? Because there's a lot of stuff in the word of God that really goes against society's construct. What I'm seeing on YouTube, what I'm reading in the news, what I'm talking about with people, it goes against a lot of the things that people are believing nowadays. But do I believe it's true? The way that for the human race to truly succeed in Jesus? John 1:1, Jesus is the word of God, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Do you understand? Jesus is the word of God. You might be like, but that didn't really say anything about Jesus explicitly being the word of God. We go down to verse 14 of the same chapter. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word of God that we're reading is a connection to who Jesus is, the word of God. All the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the fullness of understanding is in the word of God. It's in Jesus. It's the full word of God. It's the full, complete Word of God, the canon of Scripture. And we can trust that that is Jesus. We are having a relationship with the Lord as we read His Word, as we study His Word. We're becoming to know Him more. It is independent. It doesn't need another book for it to stand. It has standed a test of many thousands of years, and it's still here today. Preserved, truth, unfiltered, inerrant, sovereign. Let's hold to the Word of God in 2021. Because we can find the hidden treasure of knowledge and wisdom in the Word of God. We can find the riches of understanding where it becomes alive to us in the Word of God. We can find true, deep-rooted encouragement for our heart in the Word of God. And we can find out how to be hemmed, knitted together as a body in love in the Word of God. It is the manual. Someone once said this to me when I was younger. The Bible, an acronym, is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I thought that was really, really quite like smart. I quite like that. So let's remind ourselves. It is all we need. Yeah? The Word of God is all we need. Jesus is all we need. He completes us. His Word completes us. Do you believe that? Are you persuaded by Jesus? Do you believe that? Paul is trying to persuade us. He's trying to persuade us with trustworthy words to trust in the completeness provided in Jesus. Never forget that if somebody was trying to persuade you into something that is wrong, they're not going to announce their intentions. They're going to come in a deceptive, manipulative way. We must be alert. We must be awake. We must be studious in the Word to know and look out for these traps. To know what the Word says and what Jesus says concerning life. All knowledge is in Him. For thousands of years, man has been trying to mince God's Word. We have Scripture complete for us to know Jesus. Where in your life have you allowed deceptive words, persuasive words, teachings and doctrine, ceremonial outworkings to move you away from God's Word, from His truth? This is what Paul is fighting for, the knowledge of Jesus. Understanding the knowledge of Jesus, the riches of understanding Jesus. That's what Paul's fighting for. And that's what we fight for in 2021, is the knowledge of Jesus. Don't let no one rob you from that. Let nobody take that away from you. That is your gift from God, to know Him. John 17:3, it speaks about eternal life is knowing God. Let no one rob you from that. That's end of point two in section A. Now we're going into section B, the final section. 2 points in this one too. Let's take action. So now we know, now we're going to take action. And I know in the rest of the series to follow that they're going to unpack more of how we take action and drill deeper into that surface and unravel the enjoyable treasures that are to follow. But here we briefly speak about action that we can take to get you started this week. Our roots must be in Jesus. That's where our roots must be. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." When we read, when we meditate and obey God's Word, our hearts take root in Him. That's where the fullness of God dwells, in Jesus. That's where we start to take roots. That's where we start to get stronger. That's where we start to get wiser. That's where we start to get sharp with our prayers. When we dwell in Him. "Apart from Me, you can do nothing," Jesus said. The branch must be attached to the vine. The plant will grow in the soil where the seed was placed. If you're placing in your mind and in your heart deceptive, persuasive, destructive words, that's most likely the fruit you're going to bear. The fullness of God exists in Jesus. I gotta say it to myself. Charles, the fullness of God exists in Jesus. Nowhere else. Stop looking outside of him. Stop looking over there. It's in Jesus. Let's dive into him. Let's explore him. Let's get excited about that fact that we can get to know who God is. Wow, that's incredible. We can get to know who God is. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That's the title of the series. Complete, finished, done, sealed. It's over. Jesus said, it is finished. You are complete in him. And we are reminded of this truth in this verse. You are complete in Jesus. There is no knowledge, no understanding, no wisdom, and no power that is higher than Jesus. None. That is a fact to be enjoyed, not a status to be achieved. So, stop searching outside of Jesus to try and find the true meaning and destiny to life. Stop trying to search outside of Jesus to find out how you should be as a Christian. Search in him. All the knowledge is there. Practical ways you can do that. Download a Bible study app on your phone. Get to know how it works and start to use that to help train as a disciple in understanding what God's word is. Just go for it. Dive in and see where it goes. Purchase a study Bible. If the app don't work, purchase a study Bible. You know, get a Bible dictionary. I've got one of those, and those are fascinating. Honestly, get a Bible dictionary. It's amazing. It's amazing. Start a Bible reading plan like I have. Historically, I'm going through the Bible and I'm learning and growing and understanding. His word is written in my heart. Dive into the treasure of Jesus in the Bible, in his word. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. That's a promise. He will guide you into all truth. That's John 15. He will guide you into all truth. It's a promise. Take a step of faith and say, Lord, I'm going to dive in to get to know you. No one's going to rob me of this treasure. Make yourself available to Jesus. Point 2 in section B, the last point, is our complete identity. We are not saved because we do. We do because we are saved. We have been saved by Jesus, so that's why we do. We don't do to earn our salvation like the Mormons. Do not let anyone drag you under legalism. You must do this in order for. You must do this in order for. Nah. We're under grace. We're under God's grace and mercy and unfiltered love for us. You can never earn your salvation. It is free. It is a gift from God. It's his blueprint. It's his plan. It's his work in you. It's all him. I came from a very legalistic background where I understand it's Pentecostal legalism can easily take you down a road of I must do, I achieve, and that's how I am. How hard I work, yes, Lord, I must get a good place in heaven or whatever it may be. Don't let no one cheat you out of the free gift that God gives so willingly and freely. It doesn't mean we act lazy and we use it as an excuse to sin or to be lethargic in our walk. No, that should excite us more to know that there's nothing that's holding us back. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Spirit of God is liberty to us. Amen. Let's run with that. Let's hold with that. Let's be thankful that he has made us alive together with him. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. He has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So he's forgiven all of your sins. Colossians 2:14 goes on to say, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements against us. That's legalism. That's the Jewish law that they were trying to shove into their heads. That's culture and traditions of men that people are trying to shove into your minds. Scrap that. He has wiped it out. It was contrary to us, it says, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What a great piece of imagery. He nailed it to the cross. An important one as well. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He disarmed principalities and powers, embarrassed them, and won the war over them. It's done. It's finished. It's amazing. That's the God we serve. The cross was not in vain. It was for a victory that we can enjoy in Jesus. Don't let no one rob you from this treasure. That is our heavenly status. That is our identity. Children of the Most High, bought with a priceless price, the blood of Jesus. He disarmed them. A wonderful picture in commentary. Against the believer, what weapons do demonic spirits therefore now have? They are disarmed. Except for the ability to deceive and create fear, persuading you to believe that something is that isn't. These are effective weapons that are not tangible weapons at all. Demonic spirits only have power towards us that we grant them by believing their lies. The weapons are in our hands. It's in your hands, not theirs. Jesus has disarmed them. We will one day see how afraid of us they really were because of the status that Jesus has given to us when we put our faith and trust in him. Praise God. He has taken away the law. He has taken away works and says, just depend on my grace and my free gift to you. I'm everything you need. Through Jesus, we have everything we need to be saved from death. He has nailed our sin to the cross. He has nailed our sin to the cross. Man, you gotta embody that. You gotta take that on, man. That's some real stuff. Let's walk and live like people who are safe. Let's walk and live like people who are steadfast. Let's walk and live like people who are complete, because we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, I pray that you will knit us together in unity by your love. That Father, the thread that pulls your people together will be love. Your agape love, your unconditional love, draw us together in this time when we feel so separated and so far from each other. Hem us together with the cords of love that cannot be broken. Father, I pray that you'll keep revealing to us that we are complete in Jesus. You will keep on showing us that we are complete in you, that we lack nothing. That the Holy Spirit is working in us to build us and develop us every day. Your word says, do not lose heart. Though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Do not lose heart. We have everything we need in Jesus. Lord, I pray you will sharpen our awareness to false doctrine, traditions and deceit, persuasive words, that you will sharpen the awareness of your people. From the young children to the teenagers to the grown adults, Lord, I pray that you will sharpen their awareness, Lord. You said iron sharpens iron, Lord. bring about people around each other that we can make sure truth is revered. Truth is held on the highest pedestal, which is you, Lord Jesus. And give us a deep-set desire and hunger for your holy scripture. Father, a quaking pain in us, Lord, that we need to fill only with your word. A deep desire, a deep-set desire for your word. Father, wherever we are, and whatever we're going to face in the next 12 months, we know that we can face it because we are complete in you. We need you, Jesus, every second and moment of our lives, and we trust you. Meet us where we are, we pray. In Jesus' name.